The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but isn't religion responsible for that recent terrorist attack that we had just a few days ago in New York City? Isn't religion responsible for all those kinds of things? Well, no, my friend, not all religions, not Christianity. As a matter of fact, and this is breaking news just in the last few hours, some of you, probably most of you know this already, today a Christian church, a Baptist church in Texas, was the recipient, and not the cause, but the recipient of violence. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about that today because we don't know a lot about it. There's nothing that I find more frustrating than turning on Fox News or one of the other 24-hour cable networks, and they keep repeating that we know nothing yet, and that doesn't keep them from talking about it all day long. We do know that 20 people at least, maybe more, were killed. Many more were wounded. We know that it was a very small church. So about half the church is dead. This is just absolutely horrific. They have killed. Last I heard the news, it was not clear whether he took his own life or whether the police killed him, but the perpetrator is dead. They did finally release his name. We don't seem to know much about motive, but there are things coming out about his involvement in social media. So this one we're going to talk about more next week, because next week we'll know more. Obviously, in the time we're doing a live show, as things come in over the wire, even in this next hour, maybe we'll talk a little more about it. But I don't want us to suddenly forget last week's tragedy either. When we do a show like this that stays up with the news and we do it once a week, it's hard to keep up. And these days, it seems like every few days there's another horrific murder. The last one wasn't even a shooting. It was somebody mowing people down in his car. But I don't want us to suddenly forget that one either. So I am going to back up and talk about what happened a few days ago in New York City, because we know a lot more about that. So getting back to that original question, isn't religion responsible for most of this violence? Not all religions, not Christianity. The religion in New York City was Islam. Now, before I go on, put down the phones, stop, take a deep breath. Yes, there are peaceful Muslims. Yes, there are many peaceful Muslims. In fact, there are many, 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 many peaceful Muslims. Okay? Did I do that right? Now, look, I do honestly stand by that disclaimer, but frankly, I grow weary of feeling like I have to immediately give out this disclaimer every single time we have another terrorist attack, because it's not actually true that the terrorists have hijacked and perverted an otherwise peaceful religion and an otherwise peaceful book, the Quran. What's true is that the many peaceful Muslims are ignoring key passages in the Quran, passages that the terrorists take quite seriously. Yes, the terrorists are getting their cues from the Quran and from Muhammad, who recited the Quran and who himself practiced jihad. How do you think he conquered the Arabian Peninsula? By inviting the inhabitants to a folk dance? By hiring Jimmy Carter to host a peace conference at Camp David? By handing out free boxes of Cracker Jack? Yes, another vehicle running into people, another case of the perpetrator shouting Allahu Akbar And once again, we were initially told that it was too early to know if this was terror-related. It was finally reported as terror, but only with lots of talk about him being a lone wolf. We're all supposed to feel better now because he was a lone wolf, despite his very open support of ISIS right away. Look, lone wolf or not, the ideology is the same. The radical Islamic terrorists certainly understand. They've come to grips with it. They are like the abusive husband. The PC politicians and pundits are like the abused wife who nevertheless makes excuses for her husband, thus enabling him. In other words, when America or Europe says, well, maybe it's not their ideology. Maybe it's something we did. Well, then they are showing complete and utter ignorance. What we did, what we do is fail to conform to the jihadists' religious political ideology. This New York City jihadist, according to experts, and in his case, he was not shot dead. He was wounded. He was taken to the hospital. This jihadist showed zero remorse, bragged about what he did, and you'll love this one. He requested that an ISIS flag be hung in his hospital room. Yeah, a hanging should take place, all right, and not from the flag. Yes, I did say that as a Christian. Just thought I'd mention that in order to be spared some self-righteous, sanctimonious lecture by somebody who wants to say, see, you Christians are just the same as the jihadists. Not so, my friend. Not so. Jesus did not command jihad. He commanded it nowhere. But the Bible does teach justice in response to cold-blooded murder, that it does. Justice, self-defense, these seem to be ideas forgotten by our politically correct nation. You gotta love the politically correct mainstream media. Here's how NBC News reported the attack. This was their headline. Muslim Americans again brace for backlash after New York attack. You see, the headline is not about what happened, but about what might happen and about what never does happen, at least not 99.9% of the time. It gets better. MSNBC's Chris Matthews show, well, once again, playing the role of the battered wife by raising questions about what America might have done to anger this most recent jihadist. What did we do to make him so angry? They pointed out that he had assimilated into our country, and as evidence for assimilation, they said, and he worked as a truck driver. Yeah, he was a truck driver, all right. Boy, was he ever. Speaking of trucks, during last week's press conference, reporters asked New York City Mayor de Blasio and New York State Governor Cuomo about gun control. They're bringing up gun control while talking about eight people run over by a truck. But don't worry. We'll soon see a happy marriage between anti-gun lobbyists and environmentalists in the banning of trucks. Now, I should say, not everybody in our country has a soft view of justice. President Trump seems to have no trouble whatsoever by calling for justice and calling people names at the same time. He's pretty good at calling people names. He called the jihadist truck driver an animal. And frankly, in many quarters, there has been more outrage against Trump's language than the murders themselves. Just for the record, in case you want my personal views on this matter, I agree that it was wrong for the president to call this bragging, remorseless terrorist an animal. It was wrong. A president should not speak this way. It is an unfair insult to animals everywhere. And while we're on a roll about name calling, let me offer you yet another tasty nugget. Los Angeles Times political columnist David Horsey said of White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, while comparing her to other women associated with Trump, and I quote, by comparison, Sanders looks more like a slightly chunky soccer mom who organizes snacks for the kids' games rather than the fake eyelashes and formal dresses she puts on for news briefings. Sanders seems as if she'd be more comfortable in sweats and running shoes. Now, before we go on, to his credit, he later apologized and removed the offending remarks from his column. If you went to this column online now, you wouldn't find that in the column that I just read to you. One must still wonder why he felt the freedom to make that comment in the first place. Gotta love the LA Times, which approved his original piece. This from one of the many news outlets who over the years have offered us so many stern lectures about diversity, tolerance, and sensitivity. When Trump commented on the appearance of women during the campaign, which he did, which he should not have done, our elite media went ballistic. So why did it take Fox News asking the New York Times for a comment before they decided to remove that? Meanwhile, other fun comments still remain in that same thoughtful LA Times opinion column, but don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. Read the context. I linked it to my Facebook page. The cartoon on top of the column calls Sarah Sanders Big Mother. I assume that's a play on words for Big Brother, as if the Big Brother state wasn't here long before Trump came along, and as if Trump isn't trying to get rid of the Big Brother state. But it seemed to be maybe even more of a play on words, because they had a cartoon of her where they were exaggerating her weight, and they're calling her Big Mother. And so that looked like maybe a little debris left over from those edited comments about her weight. But the more important truth were the words coming out of her mouth, not her real mouth. The talking bubble by her mouth in the cartoon. In the cartoon, Sanders says, and this was not redacted, this was not taken, Sanders says, war is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. Paul Manafort is Hillary Clinton. Now, naturally, this is only David Horsey's opinion of what Sanders truly means, but don't worry. Truth eventually comes out. Such as the truth about United States Army Sergeant and deserter Bo Bergdahl. I'm reading from reporter James Rosen back in 2014 when Bergdahl was first making news. He said, U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl at one point during his captivity converted to Islam, fraternized openly with his captors, and declared himself a warrior for Islam according to secret documents prepared on the basis of a purported eyewitness account and obtained by Fox News. Be that as it may, Bergdahl's life was spared at the cost of many fellow soldiers who went out looking for this deserter. Yes, the truth came out long before the court-martial trial of Bo Bergdahl. And he was sentenced for all that to a dishonorable discharge and time served. Kind of time served. The time he was held captive to the Taliban was considered the time served. I'm surprised the judge didn't sentence Bergdahl to a book deal and a reality show. If only Obama were still president, Bergdahl would probably also be awarded the Medal of Honor. And now let me introduce a man who deserves honest accolades, National Review contributor and rotating co-host Mike Friedenberg, who joined us last week and is going to continue some of the things he talked about last week and some new items on the agenda. Mike, welcome back to our program.
Well, Bob, thank you for having me back. And this is a really sad evening. And in fact, the death toll is now at least 26 people.
So it's gone up to, I kept hearing them say at least 20, maybe 24, maybe 26, but they've confirmed it at 26 now.
And devastating for a town of 400 or 500 people, little church, 50 people meeting, and the person, I will not mention his name, but he was a dishonorably discharged Air Force veteran, went in there wearing tactical black gear and slaughtered people.
Okay, now, it's horrible. Hold with me, Mike, over the break. Okay. We'll be right back on this very, very sad day.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others.
To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170, 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044, 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Co-hosting with me today, Mike Friedenberg. Mike, you had just gotten into this horrific attack in Texas.
It is truly horrific. It's heart-wrenching, and it was just hearing it was just a sock in the gut. We don't know much details yet. We do believe that a neighbor of the church may have, we do believe that a neighbor of the church did engage the monster that came there with their assault-style weapon and may have stopped him from continuing the slaughter. In other words, he could have just continued shooting and putting people.
So he may have been stopped by somebody who was a private gun owner. Before the police came.
Before the police, he definitely was on the scene before the police came. And don't know the details, but it seems like and it sounds like he was able to engage this monster and force him to flee the scene before he could maybe finish off the wounded on the ground.
Well, you know, a lot of churches now, especially the bigger ones, have a lot of security because of the days we live in. But in Texas, this was one of those little churches. A lot of these little Southern Baptist churches, and there's big Southern Baptist churches too, they only have 100, 200 people. Sometimes it seems like this one was even less than that. And Texas is a place, and I've seen other places like this when I visited Prescott, Arizona years ago. One of those places where people feel so safe that a lot of people don't lock the doors of their cars. They don't lock the doors of their homes. And it is just such a sad time in our history that those days are over. But if this person was apprehended or at least slowed down by somebody who was a good citizen with a gun, that should do a lot to curtail. Well, dream on. In theory, it should do a lot to curtail all the calls we're going to get for gun control, but you and I both know that's not going to happen. Those are going to be the first words out of every politician's mouth. Let's take all those evil guns and lock them up in jail.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I don't even really want to talk about it. So I do want to mention, though, that there is, you know, that somebody engaged this person and may have saved other lives because there's a lot of wounded people, and the mode that this monster was in is those people on the ground, he could have just gone around and finishing them off. So there's a lot of, by the way, there is a lot of injured people. So everybody, we just, you know,
we need to be praying.
We should pray that they will pull through.
One of the saddest things was the pastor's daughter was killed.
And a 2-year-old.
And a 2-year-old. I mean, just what kind of, you know, Trump was calling last week's killer an animal. I'll use an even harsher word. What kind of monster does these kinds of things?
Once again, it's hard to find words that match the crimes, just how vile they are. So it is another act of what it looks like to be domestic terrorism. And domestic terrorism.
Yeah, by all accounts, this one does not seem to be related to a jihad.
I don't believe that we've been able to.
That's more common sometimes in these little towns where somebody, their girlfriend broke up with them or who knows what. But again, we do not know at this point.
And we
don't want to be like the other shows. We're not going to spend an hour talking about what we don't know.
Right.
So there were all kinds of other things in the news last week, things that we do know. Let's spend
and
more time talking about that.
Just to continue on that, though, it does not appear to be that it is that this guy at this point of time had been radicalized, anything to do with Islam. Just an act of some kind of domestic terrorism for whatever reason.
And you mentioned some theory that he may have been involved with Antifa.
Well, there was some stuff on the internet on that.
But we don't,
I think that's way, way too premature.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
And also, it could be just as simple that he dressed in all black.
Oh, and maybe just looked like an Antifa person.
So I think that's very premature. So I don't even.
But the dressing in all black part, that part is reliable.
That's correct. It was supposedly black tactical gear, including a bulletproof vest.
Okay.
That was black. So black tactical gear. But we also had a horrible, horrible shooting by somebody as well in Las Vegas.
And that was only about a month ago.
And it just doesn't stop.
What a time in our country's history.
So there's a lot of people that like to say, hey, let's not, we can't focus. It's just terrorism is terrorism. Let's not focus on Islamic terrorism. Here's the bottom line is, yes, we do have horrible, wacky monsters in our own population right now that are doing these types of things. Why would we want to import people into this country whose stated aim is to overthrow the Constitution of the United States, who believe in a philosophy of jihad? Why would we want to bring them into our country when we already have our own problems here our own grown homegrown terrorists.
And it's not an either-or thing. It's not like, well, are you concerned about the Islamic terrorism or the homegrown? We're concerned about all that.
Exactly.
I noticed in one of your Facebook posts exchanges last week, one of your Facebook friends was arguing with you when you were talking about the jihadists, and he was saying, oh, there's no real threat from the jihad. And then I noticed he says, have you already forgotten about the white guy that did the shooting in Vegas? And I'm thinking, dude, are you aware of the fact that Islam is not a race? There are many white Muslims. Islam is a religion and an ideology. And so talking about Islam is not making a racial statement at all. There are certain countries that are Islam that are of a certain race, but there are all kinds of white Americans and white Europeans who are Muslims. So it was a ludicrous statement of we're putting the Muslims over here and the white people over there. And the more ignorant the people are, the more arrogant and smug they sound. And that's what's so incredibly frustrating.
So we do have homegrown evil here, but we don't want to import a organized form of evil into our country.
And folks, we're against all of it, okay? We're against the white evil. We're against the black. We're just against evil. All right. We'll come back and we'll be against even more evil. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News.
The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
Sad day today with the shooting we had today in Texas. It was not even a whole week ago that we had not a shooting, but people mowed over in their car in New York. One was terrorism in New York. We don't know much, hardly anything at all about the motive of this person today. But here to discuss the news of the day in general is Mike Friedenberg.
Well, Bob is just commenting on the fact that we do have our own homegrown terrorists here. So why would we want to import organized terrorism into the country? We just have to get back to having a sane view of immigration policy. And the other thing that we need to realize is that when you talk about the political Islam, you're talking about Sharia. And it is not a religious belief. It has a foundation religion. It's a political system. And we have restricted political systems from coming to this country in the past. If you put on your application into this country, you're a communist, you were excluded
from
entry.
If your system is antithetical to our Constitution, Sharia law is not compatible with our Constitution.
It is not. So as Donald Trump says, if you don't love the country, you don't love the people, you don't respect the Constitution, you don't respect freedom of religion, you don't respect freedom of speech, we don't want you.
Right. And folks, it's a little too simplistic to say, well, not every Muslim is a terrorist. There are Muslims who will renounce terrorism and then openly embrace Sharia law. Well, in Saudi Arabia, under Sharia law, if somebody converts to Christianity, they get their head cut off. And if they're a woman, they're not allowed to drive. And gay people have no rights. So a lot of the same liberals that are lobbying for these rights, they've somehow grandfather-clawed Islam and made it a politically correct religion so that we're supposedly not allowed to criticize religion, the religion of Islam. Other religions, sure, but not Islam.
So very nice segue, Bob, because speaking of Saudi Arabia, there's been some very interesting things happening in Saudi Arabia, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. The new crown prince there, Prince Mohammed bin Salman, has been making some statements that I would like to be very cautiously optimistic about. Let me just make a something that he said on October 24th. By the way, when Trump did that historic visit to address the Arab Congress,
unlike Obama's magical mystery apology tour, Trump did a very different tone.
He put a lot of pressure on Saudi Arabia and other countries there in their connection to, you know, some of the people there, some of the billionaires.
And most of the perpetrators on 9/11 were from Saudi Arabia, too.
Trump put an awful lot of pressure there. So here's a statement from the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman on Tuesday of last week. What he said is that Saudi Arabia would return to a modern Islam that is open to all religions. Crown Prince also announced that Saudi Arabia, would eradicate promoters of extremist thoughts, saying the country was not like this in the past. We are returning to what we were before, a country of modern Islam that is open to all religions to the world. That's what the 32-year-old heir to the throne said. Now, those are just words. But yesterday, on Saturday, in a development that was huge, the Saudi press reported that prominent billionaires, members of the royal Saudi family, and something like 30 other high-ranking officials in the Saudi government had were arrested on corruption and money laundering charges. Those people arrested were some of the hardliners, the most extreme supporters of Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia. So the crown prince looks like he's moving to
concede. Wahhabism being one of the more violent branches.
Well, Wahhabism is the branch of Islam in this country that 9 times out of 10, if there's a local mosque open up in your neighborhood, it's going to be a Wahhabist. Since the 1970s, the Saudi individuals, they have a lot of billionaires there, have funded over $200 billion worth of exporting Wahhabism to the rest of the world. Over $200 billion.
Right, and they're also paying for the rewriting of a lot of our encyclopedias, too.
So I didn't know about that, but the rewriting, and they've...
Oh, those fun, rich Saudis are everywhere.
So, but I do want to say that, listen, I do want to point out something, that this is a... There's some actions there and some words that we ought to try to cultivate and fan the flames of this kind of moderation if it is truly, if it's followed through on. Walid bin Talal, one of the richest men in the world, was also arrested. He's a former crown prince. He is one of the people that was advocating the Victory Mosque at Ground Zero in New York City. So he was arrested. So this is huge, huge.
Well,
news.
Like you said, I like your term cautious optimism, because I agree this does sound good, but the track record has not been good. So we'll see what happens.
And we'll see what happens. Now, what's going to really blow? It blew my mind. So maybe it will blow some of the audience's mind. There's now a report that just came out 2 hours ago that a helicopter crash with some of the people that might have opposed the crown prince just happened a couple hours ago. Another crown prince died. The former crown prince, who had recently been superseded by Prince Mohammed, died in a helicopter crash just a couple hours ago. And 7 other ranking officials in the government just died.
I'm trying to follow this. I'm sure our audience is. So is it the good guys or the bad guys that just died in the helicopter crash?
Quote unquote bad guys, and I died in a helicopter crash
a couple hours ago. The corrupt people that the Saudi government says they're going after by an amazing coincidence.
People that seem like they may be more of the hardline types.
Maybe the Carleone family has visited Saudi Arabia and people are having unfortunate accidents.
I don't think that Saudi politics are quite like ours. Ours are pretty rough and tumble, but this is not a democracy, and it looks like there's a major power consolidation down here by somebody who, by the way, as of the new year, Saudi women will have the right to drive.
Interesting. And, in the past, since we had presidents that were willing to buy oil from them, no matter how they treated women, no matter how they treated Christians, it is interesting that Trump taking a more hardline stance, they're suddenly backing off something. It would be interesting to see what happens if we get some liberal president again, whether their policies swing the other way again. Okay, we'll be right back. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. to the Bob Siegel Show with Mike Friedenberg.
So just to finish off the conversation, Saudi Arabia, the goal apparently is to diversify the economy. And I think that's wise for the Crown Prince to do because, you know, the United States has been developing its energy resources. The rest of the world is doing it. There's alternative energy sources
right.
out there. There's
natural gas. And if they're not the only perpetrators of oil or providers of oil, they don't have a lot to hold the world over a barrel with. No pun intended on the word barrel.
Exactly. So that's his goal, and he's trying to consolidate power to try to do that. So it's something to keep an eye on, and it's a very, very modest first step. Seems kind of silly to get all excited about it, but women being allowed to drive is a major thing in Saudi Arabia, and that's what's apparently going to happen, you know, starting this new year. So that's significant. So just to switch topics here, we also saw in the past couple weeks the Mueller indictment. Paul Manafort.
Oh, Mueller's indicting a Paul Manafort. Yeah.
Yes.
And last week you gave a prediction that they were going to indict somebody really soon because they leaked out that they would. We questioned over the air whether it might be Paul Manafort. Turned out that it was.
Yeah, it was. And so Paul Manafort, you know, he was a kind of, well, I would say a very obvious target. I don't think anybody was really surprised that he was indicted. He's somebody that's, you know, been involved for many years in very rough and tumble politics. A lot of money was flowing. I do think the charges were probably exaggerated in the indictment.
But it may have been unwise for Trump to have brought him on.
You know, he was brought on by advice of
his
friend.
They did get rid of him. They didn't keep him very long.
No, once they began to see some of the stuff, they brought him. And he was somebody that was acknowledged as an expert in corralling votes in contested elections.
Which he did. He was useful
successfully
for a while.
So regardless, there's not a direct connection there. But what is interesting, though, is the way these special counsels can work, working with grand juries, the goal is to not always necessarily directly come after what you're trying to achieve, but your goal is to gain power over people surrounding the person you're going after. If you can get the person to lie about something, it doesn't matter if what they're lying about is
They could say you're going to jail for 20 years or you give us something
right.
about Trump. And if this is a guy with a shady past anyway, why wouldn't he make up something about Trump?
It's potentially.
I mean, I don't know him at all. I could be being unfair to him, but that's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, exactly. So and Weissman, one of the prosecutors there, who was also part of the Justice Department and one of the people that signed a plea bargain agreement with one of the offenders.
They all knew about the Hillary and
exactly.
the uranium and the Obama administration, the CIA, the FBI. Boy, Mike, this is no exaggeration when we talk about a deep state. We always knew Washington was corrupt. I don't think we knew how multi-tentacled it was until Trump got in there.
Exactly.
He may be the only guy in there that isn't corrupt. And he's no angel either. But boy, compared to these other people, the guy's starting to look like Mother Teresa.
No, absolutely. So the way they will work is they will try to get somebody they're going after. They'll try to get the people around them to lie. And once they've lied, it doesn't matter whether what they lied about or not was illegal.
If the lie about Trump is something MSNBC wants to hear, they will call it the truth.
But because lying to the federal agents is a federal offense, and then you can go to jail for lying about somebody that was completely legal. Absolutely.
Well, right. Okay, so we're talking about different kinds of lies. There's this other fellow who was doing some things with Russia that were not illegal, but he lied about the timeline. But I'm also talking about the fact that they could go to them and say, we want you to give us some dope on Trump. And they can phrase it that way, knowing that if the guy's being threatened with jail, he may just, even if there's nothing to give them, he may make something up just to keep out of it. So there's different kinds of lies here.
Exactly. So the goal there is to get people, you know, that you can pressure and then to work from one Trump associate to the next Trump associate. So if you can get somebody that's on the hook and you can get them to turn over some information that then will conflict with what somebody else has said, then you're caught in the lie. So the question here is Papadopoulos, right? He was a former foreign policy advisor.
Right, that's the other person I was thinking of, Papadopoulos.
Is that but he was very junior in the campaign. You know,
sounds
based
like
out
an
of London.
Extinct dinosaur, the Tyrannosaurus, and, the Papadopoulos.
Yeah, a 30-year-old guy. He had he'd been out of college for about 3 years. He'd worked three and a half years, something like that. Had worked for the Hudson Institute, a conservative think tank. He'd worked for 3 months on the Ben Carson presidential campaign. And he was in London, and he was approached a professor there who was a former diplomatic official for the country of Malta, who said that he had high-level Russian contacts. So he was digging for dirt on Hillary Clinton. I mean, and think about it. If you're working on the Trump campaign, and you're looking at the Uranium One deal, it's got corruption written all over it. And it would have been malpractice for somebody in the Trump campaign not to try to see if they could find some dirt, because there was obviously Russian connections, Russian collusion happening with the Clinton campaign. Well, it was very clear.
And we got to define the lingo correctly, according to the Democrats. When they do these things, these shady things with Russia, it's opposition research. When someone from the Trump campaign talks to them, it's collusion. So we need to define our terms correctly, Mike.
So this fellow, Papadopoulos, did talk to the professor. They did at least set up some conversations with a couple of Russian nationals. One of the Russian nationals claimed to be Putin's niece. Turned out to be a fake. She was not Putin's niece. And no information was delivered to him. But when he was questioned by the FBI, he didn't deny talking to him. He said a different timeline than what really happened. He had been frightened by the witch hunt of the Russia investigation, and he lied. So now they have him for lying about something that was not illegal to do at all. And now the word is that he wore a wire and went around talking to other Trump associates and potentially confidants.
Now the thing
trying
is,
to get them
why
say
haven't we
to
heard
him.
Anything by if he had a wire and anything incriminating was said, how come that hasn't come out yet?
Now I'm going to give you the worst case scenario, okay? Because this is the worst case scenario. The goal would be for him to go talk to somebody that's associated with the campaign, get them secretly tape what they're saying. Then the FBI or the investigators come in and they talk to the person. And if the person contradicts what was taped on the secret wire, now they have lied, and now they have a federal offense.
Right. And again, it could be a lie over the timeline, not necessarily
about
something.
It could be a lie.
Over,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be related to the
it's
investigation.
It's like with Watergate. And then now in the case of Watergate, there was a crime, but the crime of breaking in and bugging somebody's campaign headquarters was not nearly as big as all the lies and the cover-up.
No.
And so a lot of times, and in this case, there may not have even been a crime. It's just the contradictory stories about timelines.
Exactly. But all they have to do is catch you in lying to the investigators, and then they have you over the barrel, and then they leverage you.
Well, when somebody's given the commission to be a prosecutor, a special prosecutor, he wants to come home with something. He doesn't want to not have a trophy to put in his mantle. We'll be right back. Buying a home? Selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Falduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Falduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Much going on in the news, hard to compress it into one radio show. Impossible. But we'll continue to do what we can in the 10 minutes or so that we have left.
Okay, Bob, my stopwatch is set for that 10 minutes here.
Okay.
So we could change subjects here a little bit. We have an interesting election going on in the state of Virginia, which as of over the last couple election cycles has been a blue state. So it's gone Democrat. The governor, you know, the Democrat governor has won. Hillary Clinton won the race. Now we have a race to replace and take over the governorship. We have Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam running against former Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie. And this was a race that was supposed to be a slam dunk for Ralph Northam. He's the sitting lieutenant
governor. And they're the ones that put that horrible ad up.
Yeah, exactly. And as a sign that maybe things weren't going as well for Northam as they were expecting, the Latino Victory Fund released that abominable ad. I did watch it. And what it is, it shows a pickup truck. The pickup truck is flying a gigantic Confederate flag. It has a Don't Tread on Me, you know, bumper sticker. It has an Ed Gillespie bumper sticker.
So everybody that's for Gillespie would be a Confederate and would want to go chasing down Latinos.
Well, not only does it, you know, it has a Latino child, it has a young lady wearing her hijab, so a Muslim young lady. So it ends up with this truck chasing down four, you know, children, you know, ethnically minority children, you know, basically. And that's what happens if you, you know, elect Ed Gillespie. Now, I can tell you that Ed Gillespie,
they wanted to do the complete job, it would have been a gay woman Muslim from Mexico.
Historically, I would call a more of a moderate conservative Republican. He has adopted, though, Donald Trump's populist message. And right now, there are some people saying that he has surged and may actually be ahead in the polls. Regardless, this was Northam's race to lose, completely his race to lose. And if Gillespie wins it, it sends a earthquake throughout the Democrat establishment. It really does. It also sends an earthquake out the Republican establishment because he's going to win on Donald Trump's populist message. Now, if he doesn't win, don't let anybody tell you that it, you know, says much of anything, because the bottom line is it was an uphill battle for Gillespie from the very beginning in a state that has been a blue state for quite some time.
Well, and there was another earthquake to the Democrats, that book that came out that was openly admitting about Hillary stealing the election from Bernie Sanders, which we more or less knew, but this was somebody high in the DMC that was admitting this.
Yes. Donna Brazile.
Who was not innocent herself. She was the one that fed CNN questions to Hillary. But of course now she wants to publish a book. So.
Yes. So she, former Democrat and national chairman, and came out with a book that basically documented and confirmed what we all knew, is that Hillary Clinton's people and operatives worked with the DNC, collaborated with the DNC to put the fix in for over Bernie Sanders.
Aren't the Clintons just like Teflon, though? Same as Obama. Is this going to make any difference?
You know,
I don't think any of them are going to jail.
It's interesting. The question is the Teflon, you know, if you've owned some pans and you do your own cooking, you know that the Teflon starts off really good at the beginning, eventually starts to get little scratches and cuts, and it gets worn off of it. And eventually, things begin to stick to Teflon coated pans.
Have we reached critical mass even for the Clintons?
It could be that case with Hillary Clinton. She's not beloved right now for a variety of reasons within the Democrat circles. And this stuff, a Uranium-1 deal, is huge. So if we actually,
how many other huge things has she already been involved with? From Whitewater through Benghazi,
they've had
it always bounces off.
Here's the difference that may make a difference. Whether it's not, whether it's enough to make the ultimate difference or not is the question. In the past, when these big scandals have erupted, she's had her
allies. She's had a lot of surrogates.
She's had the allies in the press pretty much controlling the information flow. You know, the NBC, CBS, all the mainstream, so-called mainstream media.
They kept carrying water for her.
Would carry water for her, and she would just deny. Her classic thing was to deny it and then to say that it's old news. Oh, we've been talking about it for a long time.
Yeah, and now the American people are ready to move on.
And we're ready to move on. Yeah. And it worked beautifully in an environment where her allies completely controlled the flow of information.
Right.
Now.
But if it's left to her to defend herself, she does a lousy job defending herself.
Now we have a situation where the mainstream media, which I call the lefstream media, because it's not really mainstream, but using the common term, mainstream media, no longer has the lock on information flow it had. We have the social media. We have the internet. So the question is with the lack, with the information control now not being totally in the hands of left-wingers, with it being out there and more broadly accessible, can she survive this scandal? And I don't know. But it's a possibility this one might actually stick on her. And as I said, I do not know the answer to that because you're right. They have been, you know, had amazing.
Well, and again, and it's gotten to the point where it's just not her. It's not just her. And you don't hear Obama's name being bandied about as much. But a lot of these scandals, she could not have gotten away with without him. He was very much a part of the whole Benghazi thing.
Yeah. And I will just say one of the things that I will say is that one of the most disappointing things, but it's something that I shouldn't be disappointed at because I'm surprised, is when you get people like Lindsey Graham, you know, defending Mueller staying on the investigation, there's absolutely no case for anybody that's a conservative or Republican or anybody that has any kind of fair-mindedness to be making a case that Mueller should be the running this
investigation. We were talking about this last week. It's because they were all so much a part of this uranium thing that it's, they were not expecting to lose the election. Nothing was ever going to come of it if all those people that were involved stayed in power. When Trump won, I think panic ensued, and they needed to just change the narrative and start with all this Russian collusion stuff with Trump.
That's to be expected. But what's really disappointing is the Republicans.
Well,
Republicans supporting. And
well, we're
not
learning
just
that
Graham.
A lot of Republicans are part of the deep state, we know that.
And I'm just saying that because a lot of without Republican support, the Mueller would never have been able to stay as the special counsel. But right now, with all this evidence coming out right now, any Republican supporting Mueller being on there is a traitor to the party. And they may think that they're, you know, have some higher goal, but it's clearly the only possible reason is because they really want to damage Trump as
well,
much as possible.
I think that is true with a lot of them. But then I think there's others. Republicans keep falling into this. So we've got to make sure that we don't look partisan. And I'm saying, you morons, you're going to get painted with horns and a pitchfork no matter what you do. Shouldn't you just go ahead and bite the bullet and do what's right?
Not looking partisan is fine. But with what's come out on Mueller.
But that's what I'm hearing. Oh, if we get rid of Mueller, we're going to look partisan.
And
the New York Times is going to call us partisan.
Because they're kowtowing and deadly afraid of the mainstream media. Now, I don't think they should have been, and I don't think they should have the mainstream media governing their actions as much as they have over the last decades. But the mainstream media ain't what it used to be. So let's have a little bit of backbone, a little courage, and take a look at the facts. The facts are that there would no way that would somebody like a Mueller be allowed to prosecute a Democrat with all the conflicts of interest he has. So the Republicans need to step up and just clearly say, this guy is tainted. He should not be running this investigation. He needs to be pulled out of the investigation. That should happen now.
Yeah, well, Mike, speaking of the new media, talk radio, and this show is certainly part of the new media. The internet would be part of the new media, Fox News to some degree. Thank you for joining us these past 2 weeks. We will have you on again real soon.
Bob, a pleasure to be on and an honor. Thanks.
The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.